Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the October 2nd edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and tonight our main focus will be on the Sports Car Club of America. Our first guest of the evening is Chris Berg. Chris has 15 years competition experience in top-level regional supercars, USA Racing Series, capturing back-to-back second-place finishes and championship points. He started racing four-cycle karts, moving to tag karts in 2004. He also provides top-level coaching and instructing services to prospective and current racers of all ages. In this capacity, his experiences range from instructing novice youth drivers in basic racing techniques and theory to coaching adults at high-performance driving experiences. Currently, he works in the motorsports industry as public relations professional for the Sports Car Club of America, where he's able to blend his love of communication with an equal love of racing. He is responsible for all PR activities relating to SCCA Pro Racing, and more specifically to the Mazda MX-5 Pro Cup. It looks like Mr. Berg is on the line already, so I'd like to welcome him to the program.
Yes, I am, Adam. Thank you very much.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Not too bad. First off, I'd like to ask you how you first got involved in racing.
Well, like a lot of people, I first got involved really as a fan. Going to IndyCar races with my dad, and just wanted to figure out a way to actually get involved with the sport. So that's where I kind of started my karting career, and, you know, just kind of evolved from there.
What are you most looking forward to this weekend at Road Atlanta?
Well, most looking forward to actually some pretty close racing here. You know, of course, we are part of the Petit Le Mans weekend, so it's always great to race with the two United Sports Car Series as a support series. The Mazda MX-5 Cup presented by BF Goodrich Tires. We really have some of the best and most close sports car racing action that you will see. So it's really just a great complement to some great high-level racing here at Road Atlanta.
I know the 2014 season is wrapping up. I can hear some cars running in the background. What are your hopes for the 2015 season at the in the SCCA?
Well, moving on to 2015, you know, the Mazda MX-5 Cup is, you know, we're looking poised for some more great competition moving on into the next year. We've already agreed to SCCA Pro Racing is already going to be part of the Mazda MX-5 Cup as it moves forward in the upcoming years. So we're just kind of putting together the details for next year, assembling the schedule, and we should hope to have that out shortly.
How many races do you think there are going to be next year?
At this point, it's looking like there are probably going to be 12, which is the same number we've had this year. And they're probably going to be the doubleheader weekend formats, which we've had, which have been working pretty well for us. Creates, you know, gives each of our drivers a chance to kind of make up for any mistakes they may have had during the first race. So it's not like a one-and-done type of deal. But, yeah, and it gives the fans a chance to see some really good racing from some up-and-coming talent.
What's your favorite racetrack personally, and what's the favorite track that the SCCA races on currently?
Well, personally, I would have to say the answer to both of those questions is Road America.
Okay.
It's kind of the place where I first fell in love with racing, with road racing in particular, and sports car racing. I just remember going there with my dad, watching the Indy cars race there. It was really a great experience, and fortunately, we were lucky enough to go there this year, and hopefully we will be going there next year as well.
How would you describe the competitive nature of the SCCA Pro Racing MX-5 Cup presented by BF Goodrich?
Well, I would say that the reason we have such good high-level competition is that our drivers are very, very hungry to want to be quick, successful. Not only that, but our cars are very closely matched. We at SCCA Pro Racing. We spend a lot of time with Mazda, our partners, to make sure that each of our competitors has an equal opportunity to go out every weekend, go out every race, even more so, and be able to contest for a win. It's just kind of the whole philosophy behind the series of making sure that everybody has that fair chance.
What's the nature of the partnership between Mazda and BS Gregory?
Well, that partnership actually goes back quite a while. It's those two companies kind of forged their really early relationship with a win at Le Mans, many years ago, over 15 years ago. So it's been something that has just kind of built from there. They're really two great companies. Mazda really supports the grassroots level of racing, and BF Goodrich does as well, both on the SCCA club side and the SCCA pro racing side.
Can you talk a little bit about what success the MX5 Cup champions have had in other forms of racing?
Well, yes, I certainly can. We've actually been lucky enough to have quite a few successful drivers come out of our series. The most successful of recent note was Stephen McAleer. He has been racing the last two seasons in the Continental Tires Sports Car Challenge class of IMSA, and he actually was the Rookie of the Year in 2013. So being able to kind of add that to our list of successful graduates, and it just shows the level of competition that we foster in our series.
How much interaction does the SCCA have with the with IMSA and particularly with the Mazda prototype program there?
Well, with the Mazda prototype program itself, there's not a whole lot of crossover with the IMSA folks. Of course, since we are do work closely in many of the same weekends. In fact, this year, 5 out of our 6 race weekends were run in concert with IMSA events. We do have a very close working relationship with those folks. We know a lot of them by first name. They know a lot of us by first name. We'll see them in the timing tower and in the control tower. So it's very it's a relationship that there's a lot of back and forth, and it's very good.
I know that there's that the points battle in the MX5 Cup is really close this year, where there are 4 drivers currently within striking distance of winning the championship. How do you think that's going to affect the racing this weekend, and is that a good thing for the sport?
Well, I think whenever you're talking about close points battles for championships in racing, I think that it's always something that's good for the sport. It's good for the fans, good for the competitors. It's good for everybody that's involved in the series to be able to say that, yes, we do have close racing here. Yes, it's fair for everybody, and everybody has a chance to go out there and win, provided they're able to put together, the right mechanical aspect of their car as well as the driving aspect. It's just, when you're able to put all that stuff together, you can really show it on the track. This year, our point leader is actually Kent Cook, and he actually just claimed the points championship for this season with this first weekend race that we had here. So we've already had one run race in the books, and we have one more to go, and that will conclude our season.
What advice would you give someone thinking about pursuing a career in motorsports?
As far as somebody pursuing a career in motorsports, was that the question? I'm sorry.
Yes, it was.
Well, I think that in order to do that, it's really a business. That's what people have to understand first off, is that not only as a race car driver do you have to be intelligent behind the wheel, but you have to be intelligent outside of the car. You have to really be the whole package. You have to understand business, the nature of business, and be able to bring partners into the sport that will allow you to continue on in your career, since it does tend to be a little bit of a costly endeavor. So understanding the benefits from partnership with corporate entities is really important in today's modern racing world.
It looks like we have our first caller of the evening in for a little question for you. Would you be able to take a few questions?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hello, and thanks for calling. You have a question for Chris Berg? Do you have a question? That sounds like it's a really bad connection. Perhaps I can try calling back in a second. What's your favorite racing memory?
As far as racing memories for me, I would say that really it's kind of opened my experiences being able to come to pro races like the Petit Le Mans, which we're at this weekend, and also Sebring. Those are just two of the real marquee events that I think a lot of race fans in this country and even around the world would be thrilled to go to, and to be able to actually go to those as somebody that works and supports that event. It's really a great experience. So I would say being able to go to those marquee events like that is the number one memory that really stands out in my head.
Let's try another question. Hello, you're on the air with Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. You have a question for Chris Berg? Almost through that time, but didn't quite work.
Nope.
What's your how would you address the problems of increasing attendance and lower ratings that some racing currently faces?
Well, I think that it really just comes down to the fact that we have to make racing and motorsports in general all across the board interesting to younger generations. I think that's the biggest thing. You see the success that motocross and other forms of motorsport have because they don't require quite the extensive time commitment as a fan. So I think we have to, when you're talking about longer endurance racing and sports car racing in particular, I think we have to understand that aspect of the changing culture and kind of cater to that a little bit without losing what the sport, the integrity of the sport, what it's all about.
What's your experience in finding sponsorship, and how difficult is it to get good sponsors in today's economy?
Well, I do have a little bit of experience in that realm, trying to put together my own racing programs years ago. It's very difficult these days, especially with following the economic problems that we've had, the economic downturn recently, in recent years, and that goes back 5 years or more. Companies just are not willing to open up their pocketbook, essentially, and give racers the money that they may have at one time done. The racer really has to justify the positives for going out there and advertising and advocating for a brand. So being able to say, give clear, concise reasons for why a company should go out there, risk the financial capital to invest in this sort of partnership, that is the most important thing for racers to try and articulate when they're talking to those potential partners.
It looks like we've got about about 10 minutes or so before our next guest calls in. We've got time for a few more questions for Mr. Berg. If you'd like to ask him any sort of questions, please call in now to 215-383-3681. Let's try this one more time. Hello, you're on the air. How can they get a question to my current guest?
Hi, this is Mike Lesson calling. I'm calling talking to the radio. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I'm supposed to be calling in. This is Mike Lesson calling. Supposed to be talking to the radio host.
Okay, yeah. I'll be with you in 1 second. Thanks for calling. Once again, I'd like to thank Chris Berg for coming on the program and wish him lots of luck this weekend at Road Atlanta and in the future.
Thank you very much, Adam.
Have a nice evening.
You too. Thank you.
Now we'd like to welcome Mike Alessi to the program. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty well here, too. How long have you been racing in motorcycles?
Well, I started when I was 3 years old, turned professional at 16, and 26 now, so I've been doing it for the last 10 years in the professional level, so it's been pretty good.
What's your favorite racetrack that you compete on?
Favorite racetrack? Well, I've been, a lot of racetracks in my career, and as far as Supercross goes, all the Supercross tracks are different. Every track is different every weekend that we go to. So I really don't have a specific favorite, but, definitely enjoy doing the Traveling the Monster and Supercross tour that we do.
What's your hope for the 2015 season?
Oh, the hope for the 2015 season is to have a good, strong season, being competitive, running up front. And, trying to be, at the front with the top guys and put on a good show for the fans that every Supercross that they come to.
What advice would you give someone who was thinking about pursuing a career in motorsports?
Say the question again.
What advice do you give someone who's thinking about pursuing a career in motorsports? How would you advise them to get started?
Well, the advice that I would give, someone that's coming into motocross or an up-and-coming kid is just to have fun and enjoy it because, it doesn't last forever and you just got to enjoy the ride while it lasts and have fun with it because it's very easy to get burned out and to, obviously injuries is a very dangerous sport, but to keep it fun and keep it light and that's probably the best advice I could give.
Who's your favorite rider aside from yourself?
My favorite rider would probably be David Bailey. He was a very smooth rider, calculated. He knew what he was doing on the bike. He was very natural on the bike, and he definitely excelled, in Supercross and in his career.
What's your experience finding sponsorship, and how difficult is it for you to find good sponsors?
Well, luckily for me, I got a great team with Smart Top Moto Concepts team, and they've been supporting me since 2012, and I feel like I found a very good home with the team and with, the whole series of riding for them, and I feel good about next year and going into 2015. So we're going to have a great season and going to have a good year.
What do you do in the off season, or do you actually have an off season?
Well, in the off season, it's pretty different, than during the season because you got to – travel and go to the races. And in the off-season, it's more laid back. But a lot of people don't think it's more laid back because you're actually testing and training more in preparation for the next coming season. So you're actually putting in a lot of time on the bicycle, a lot more time on the track, more testing, and a lot more countless laps on the track. So there's really no off-season anymore. It's just straight testing and riding.
If you can compete in any track in the world, which one would be and why?
I would say it's hard to pick a specific track that would be my favorite, but I definitely would have to say probably Red Bud is definitely up there, one of my favorite tracks, and I definitely enjoy Red Bud a lot.
Mm-hmm. What would be your idea of the perfect Supercross season? How many races? How many cities?
The Supercross series is 17 races, and it travels, you know, all the way from Anaheim, California, to Dallas, Texas, all the way to Atlanta, Georgia, and Daytona Supercross. So, as far as all the Supercrosses that we travel to, like it's a perfect one to win every single race, but that's never happened in the Supercross history. That would make it a perfect season.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the way they prepare the track in Daytona? Do you think they could do a better job, or do you think they've actually done made some changes in the past couple of years, the way they do that?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like the Daytona track is tough. It's very competitive. It's a tough track to work on because it's an outdoor track made into a supercross makeshift track. So it gets rough, it gets bumped and rutted, and it's tough and demanding because it's usually pretty humid and hot, even in early March in Daytona. So the supercross is a lot tougher than the normal supercrosses, where it's in a dome, a stadium. It's about 50 degrees, 55 degrees, where Daytona is a lot warmer. So, it's tougher.
Do you prefer the indoor stadiums, or do you prefer the outdoor races?
Oh, I definitely prefer supercross. I really enjoy it. It's technical, it's tough, but it's demanding. And you get to travel all across the United States and see a lot of cities, and it's definitely enjoyable.
How would you address the problems of decreasing attendance that racing in general is currently facing?
Say the question again.
How would you address the problems of decreasing attendance that racing is currently facing?
Oh, I don't know. That's right. I don't know that. I really don't have an answer to that question.
That's sort of the million-dollar question, because it seems that that all across the entire board, the grandstands aren't quite as full as they were a few years ago, and there's not quite as much support as there used to be. And I don't think there's really an easy answer. It's just sort of it's a problem that all motorsports has to deal with right now.
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure.
Do you have any plans on racing anything with doors and four wheels in the future? Are you pretty happy with the Supercross?
I'm pretty happy riding two strokes. I haven't really given much thought on riding four wheels or quads or anything like that. So I'm pretty happy on two wheels.
Well, I'd like to wish you lots of luck in the future, and thank you very much for calling into the program.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me.
Once again, that was Michael Lessie, Supercross rider. We've got about 8 minutes until our next caller calls in, so I'd like to take a moment for our sponsor.
Get ready to relive the greatest rivalry in drag racing history. It's Don the Snake Prudhomme versus Tom the Mongoose McEwen, facing off in the feature film Snake and Mongoose. The movie stars all your favorite cars from the 60s and 70s and includes some spectacular scenes using vintage footage from the old glory days. Get it now on DVD and Blu-ray, or download directly to your electronic device. Available in stores, Redbox, at Amazon.com, or online at snakeandmongoosemovie.com/store.
Hello and welcome back to the Thursday Night Thunder. My name's Adam Sinclair, and I'd like to move on from the world of Supercross a little bit to go back to sprint cars in a moment. But first, I'd like to inform you that next week the show will be taking a week off, as as your host here will be entering the heart of darkness in Fright Night at the South Florida Fairgrounds. As a promotional thing, the first 5 listeners to contact me on Twitter with the hashtag #FreeFrightNights will get a preview ticket for the first night of the event, and or a buy one, get one free coupon for the Night of Fear. It runs for roughly 3 weeks on weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, until Halloween. For more information, you can go to their website, myfrightnights.com. As I stated, our next guest is 19-year-old racer Michael Mullally. Mullally just graduated from high school and has been racing for 5 years. In 2015, she is hoping to be racing full-time in a sprint car. Racing is her family passion that she shares with her two nieces and two nephews, as well as everyone else around her. This will be her second visit to the Thunderdome. She was featured on episode 6. While we have a few moments, I'd like to cover some NASCAR news with you. As you may or may not be aware, I do a little bit of writing as well for the NASCAR Zone on Facebook. It's one of the largest Facebook fan sites for the NASCAR series. This week, I'll be writing posting several different stories to the NASCAR Zone Facebook page, which can be found by searching NASCAR Zone at the Facebook search bar. They'll be posted tomorrow. Most of them featuring information about the Kansas Speedway, which is the place where they'll be for race number 4 in the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup this weekend, NASCAR's 10-race version of the playoffs. The race will air Sunday, October 5th, and ESPN will have a live telecast of the 400-mile race. NASCAR Countdown airs at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, with the race's green flag scheduled for 2:16 p.m. Extended post-race will air on ESPN SportsCenter, with analyst Ricky Craven in the studio, and NASCAR Sprint Cup driver Carl Edwards providing additional analysis from the track. The Nationwide Series will also be competing at Kansas this weekend, racing on Saturday, October 4th, and the race aired live on ESPN at 3:30 p.m., with the green flag slated to be shown at 3:46 p.m. For any of you who are regular readers of my column on SpeedwayDigest.com, you'll notice I've been doing a little bit of coverage of the NHRA lately. The NHRA countdown to the championship continues this weekend at Reading, Pennsylvania, at the Maple Grove Raceway. Qualifying and elimination for the NHRA Nationals will air on ESPN2 and ESPN3. Beginning tomorrow, October 3rd, at 4:15 p.m., live qualifying on ESPN3. Sunday, October 5th at 3:30 a.m., qualifying will air on ESPN2, followed by eliminations live on ESPN3 at 11 a.m. At 4:30 p.m., qualifying will also air on ESPN2, and eliminations will air on ESPN2 at 8 p.m. Last weekend's action of the Lucas Oil Series in Dallas will be broadcast at 11 p.m. on ESPN2 this weekend. I'd like to thank some of the people who've been supporting me over the past few weeks. I'd like to thank the Pit Stop show hosted by Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson, all part of the Speedway Digest Radio Network that can be found at radio.speedwaydigest.com. I'd also like to thank everyone on Facebook who's been supporting me, as well as my normal readers on speedwaydigest.com. It seems like Michael is on the line, so I'd like to welcome her back to the Thunderdome. Hello, how are you doing?
Hi. Good, how are you?
Pretty good. First off, I'd like to ask how your 2014 season went.
Well, it went good. I mean, I met a lot of new people, made a lot of new friends. This season, I did learn safety first when my car went towards the wall and I couldn't kill the switch. We finished 4th in points, and that's the best points finish we've had since we started racing, so that was good. And it's always just great spending Saturday nights with my friends and family. So 2014 was really, really good to us.
There have been several female drivers who've been in the spotlight for the past few years. Who's your favorite of them, and which one would you compare yourself to?
Well, that is a hard one because there's a lot of great female drivers. But I really, I don't know. I think my favorite female driver at this point is Danica Patrick. She worked hard to get to where she is, and I'm still working to get to where I want to be, so I feel that I can compare myself to her in that aspect.
If you could compete any track in the world, which one would it be and why?
Any track in the world. Well, I like all types of different tracks, but if I had the opportunity, it would be Daytona or Eldora. Daytona is my favorite NASCAR track, and I love the action that's always there, so that'd be awesome. And Eldora just looks like a really cool, fast-paced track, and I'd love to be able to say I drove a race car there. So I think those would definitely be the tracks that I would pick if I could race anywhere in the world.
I know when you were on the show the last time, you were still working on your deal for 2015. Do you have any more news on that?
Well, for 2015, it sounds like I'm going to be racing one race at Skagit in a sprint car. So that's
okay.
Something to look forward to. But we're still just working on it. But that's, as far as I know, that's the only update I have right now, is that I will have the chance to race the sprint car at Skagit in 2015.
Cool. What are your plans for the off season?
Well, for the off season, I mean, it's the off season, but I guess it's not really the off season. I mean, we still spend our time trying to better our cars for next season while trying to find sponsors. But it's also spent supporting my brother while he betters himself in his football career and every other sport he plays. He's the super athletic one of our family. But family time during the off season is a must. Although it's a family event every race, it's nice to just get together and throw the football around or even barbecue with the family without being at the racetrack.
What other forms of racing do you follow, and what would be your ultimate ride in motorsports?
I literally follow just about every form of racing. But the forms I follow really close are NHRA and NASCAR. And on occasions when I run across it, I like to follow the AMA Supercross Series.
Okay.
Because they're insane. So, I mean, I'd really like to follow them more. But for forms, I follow NHRA and NASCAR just quite frequently. But I wish I could follow them all.
Mm-hmm. I know finding the AMA racing is a little difficult now. They only had a 6-race season this year. So it's not exactly a long race season for them. And I'm not entirely sure why, but that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, I did not know that.
I talked to one of the AMA racers last week, and they're getting ready to travel to Europe to do some racing since the season ended so early for them this year. So.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's cool, though. I mean, at least he's able to travel elsewhere to race, even though his season got cut pretty short, it sounds.
Have you ever followed the Supercross at all, AMA Supercross?
Yes, I love watching that. It's just always so entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of great people that raced it. I actually love to follow it more, but, you know, it's kind of hard.
Yeah. Well, I'd like
do
to thank you very much for
any of that
program.
Stuff?
I do sometimes. I try to keep my options open when it comes to racing. I've been to one AMA event at Homestead, which was the first time they'd actually been back to Homestead in a dozen years, and apparently it was the last time they're going to go back to Homestead for another dozen years, because they didn't have many people show up for the event. The weather was nasty. It was pouring rain. It was a little cool. And honestly, I don't think the race was promoted as well as it should be. So it just sort of, we were there, and there were probably maybe 1,000 other people. It was one of those sort of races where there's more people actually affiliated with a race team than are watching the race. So.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
And like I've stated before, I think that that's kind of an issue that they have with motorsports now, is that some races that I've been to recently and some races that I've even watched on television, it almost looks like there are more people who are affiliated with the teams who are at the track than people who are watching the race live at the facility. And it can't continue that way if motorsports is going to thrive in the U.S. and really around the world. It can't continue in that way, or it'll just be people going around in a circle and they'll look and say, hey, there's a race car, and change the channel.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really just a shame, though, that not as many people are going to watch, because it really is fun to watch, and it's just a great sport, so kind of sad that it's kind of dying out.
Well, I think part of the reason is people are, there's a lot more options for people to do a lot more. Well, part of the thing, I cover travel and that sort of stuff, and I've noticed in going to theme parks and that sort of thing, there's more people who have their head buried in their cell phone than are watching what's going on around them. And I think that's part of the reason for the decline in motorsports and in other things as well. People are all tied up in their own world and not paying attention to what's going on in other places.
Yeah.
If you were the ultimate decider in motorsports, how would you change it to try and get people more excited about going to the track?
Well, I would try to get more people involved. Like I know the track up here that we do a lot of racing at, the people just, you know, they sit in the stands and they cheer. I think it'd be really great if, you know, like occasionally people in the stands got to come out and, you know, somehow see the cars and maybe get to drive the cars maybe, or at least try, you know. So I would definitely try to get more people involved because, you know, I mean, it's a great sport and everything, but sometimes it does get a little boring just sitting in the stands. So getting more people involved, I think, would be one thing I would definitely try to do.
Yeah. I've been to, three different driving school type things where you get to, two of them, I was in a ride-along thing, and one of them I get to drive the car myself. I think if people actually understood what it was like to be behind the wheel of the car, or even just riding around in it, it would give you a totally different perspective on the sport and make people appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I agree. You couldn't have said that any better.
Who do you think? Who's your pick for the NASCAR Sprint Cup champion this year? And also,
Joey,
who do you think
Logano
will be eliminated from the chase the next time?
As bad as it sounds, I'm hoping Jimmy Johnson's eliminated. But, I mean, I don't think he will be, but that's just a hope. But I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. I think Denny Hamlin could be the next one to go. I really do. But I would love to see Joey win. That would be awesome.
My grandmother was involved in Joey Logano's early career, so I think it would be interesting for him to move on as well.
Yeah, and plus I think he just, I don't know, he's had a rough couple seasons. I think he really just deserves it. I mean, they all deserve it, but I would really love to see him advance.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to call in, especially since it was rather short notice. And I welcome you to come on the program anytime in the future if you'd be interested.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
Yep, you too.
All right.
Once again, that was Michael Mullally, and I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program. I'd also like to thank Chris Berg and Michael Leffie for taking time on their busy schedules to join me in the Thunderdome. As I said, next week the show will be taking a week off. But the following week I'm working on a review program for the IMSA schedule, as they are ending their season this weekend at Road Atlanta, which I discussed briefly with Chris Berg, my first guest of the evening. I'm hoping to have at least two guests on the program. I've reached out to Tristan Nunez as well as Brian Sellers, both of them past guests on the program and friends of the show. I invite all of you to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at radio.speedwaydigest.com. You can also read my nearly daily articles covering all aspects of motorsports at speedwaydigest.com. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter at Faborplums, FaborPlumbs, where you'll find coverage of motorsports, travel, homeowners associations, and politics, as well as the occasional news on restaurants and other information. You can also join the discussion and let me know what you'd like to see on the program in the future. If you have any suggestions, please send me an email or send me a message through Twitter. That's probably the easiest way to reach me. Again, I'd like to thank you all for listening. I look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks back here in the Thunderdome.